With all of the mystery of a papal elevation, the United Nations Security Council, along with Russia and the United States, agreed unanimously to appoint Portugal's Antonio Guterres as the next UN Secretary General. The former Prime Minister of Portugal has served as High Commissioner for the UN Refugee Agency for the past decade. A formal vote will ratify the nomination, and Guterres will become the ninth UN Secretary General, meaning once again, the Secretary General will not be a woman. Dr. Jean Krasno is a former executive director of the Academic Council on the UN system and is currently a tenured lecturer at the Colin Powell School for Civic and Global Leadership at the City College of New York. Even though this year the UN tried to make the replacement of Ban Ki-moon more like a traditional open ballot, Jean Krasno says an opportunity was missed.
We are just terribly disappointed that it's not a woman.
How does the process work here? It doesn't seem like it's an elective position. It's more like appointed by some big shots at the UN.
This particular year for the election of the Secretary General, it has been more transparent. Prior to this, it was completely secretive. Nobody knew anything until the final name was announced. But the General Assembly last year demanded to have a greater role. And so they passed a resolution saying candidates should be nominated by countries and that all candidates would have an open hearing at the UN. And that has happened. So we've been able to meet all the candidates. There have been 13, 7 women, 6 men. And it's been a great experience for the women to get to be known by the public, to express their ideas, and for us to see how outstanding they are. However, they didn't prevail.
What did you advocate as far as having a woman be Secretary General, and who were the candidates?
Our purpose was to get a woman elected. So we were not backing any particular woman because, as we saw when the process evolved, some women dropped out. A new candidate came on just last week. So we felt that we had to stay open in terms of who it would be. But we felt very strongly that the UN is now 71 years old. There had never been a woman Secretary General. There have been 8 men. They've all been very good. I have no problem with that. But women make up more than half the world's population, and they have not had a voice at the top.
Although beyond that, isn't it also the case that the UN deals with, in a lot of its cultural and health-related programs, issues of great importance to women all around the world, and that to not have a woman at that sort of senior level is an omission at this point, as opposed to purely just balancing the ticket?
Absolutely. It's not just a matter of gender equity, which is, of course, something that we advocate, but women are refugees. They have to take care of their families, their children. They're fleeing awful conflicts or earthquakes, and there's no one to listen to their needs. And we envisioned a woman Secretary General going around the world, visiting parliaments, visiting villages, visiting refugee camps, and sitting down and listening to what women needed. And then also saying, you also can be a part of the decision-making process. I'm here to show you that you can, as women, do that. And now we've missed that.
Critics of Ban Ki-moon and some of the more recent secretaries general have said that the profile has not been high enough to deliver the power that the UN needs to have to move the needle in countries around the world where, as you say, the refugee crisis is a huge problem. Do you think it is the case? And can you give me an example of a woman who has the political oomph and stature to really raise the profile of the Secretary General like it was in the past, the Dag Hammarskjöld, some of the characters who we know in history really were global figures?
Yes. I mean, I think the women candidates who got into the process, several of them were outstanding in that way. And what's frustrating is that women are held to a higher standard. And then they don't tell us what the standard is.
Who is someone that we should watch?
We felt that Irina Bokova, who is the Director General of UNESCO, was a fantastic candidate, and she was generally one of the higher women in these results, as there were 6 straw polls. And also the latecomer, Kristalina Georgieva, fantastic, brilliant, articulate, charismatic, and yet has this human quality to her.
Do you think that there was a veto here, that Bokova particularly was someone who the Russians would not have wanted, and that the U.S. compromised, and that there was some backroom deal?
There was definitely a backroom deal. I don't know what the backroom deal was, but Russia turned its back on its own region. It abandoned its own constituency, Eastern Europe. When I met with Ambassador Churkin about a year ago, he said, it has to be from Eastern Europe. And he gave me a list of every region that had been represented, and he absolutely pounded the table and said, it has to be Eastern Europe. And then he didn't do it.
What do we know about Guterres? I mean, yes, our disappointment, or your disappointment, is palpable and certainly worth speaking about, and will concern many, many women around the world. But nevertheless, we do need to know who this candidate, now Secretary General, is.
Yes. Well, he was Prime Minister of Portugal, and then was the High Commissioner for Refugees for 2 terms, which just ended a short time ago. So he is highly respected.
And that's an argument in his favor, given the refugee crisis.
Yes, yes. You know, but it would have been nice if he had done a little bit more early warning for the rest of us and warned us what was going to happen, because he had his eye on the camps, and he should have been telling us, so that something could be done to alleviate the situation within the camps. I don't want to take away from him, because he is going to be our leader, and I support the UN, and, you know, we will support him. But, you know, there are issues that I'm concerned about.
And how do you take this back to your academic responsibilities? Does this become a setback, you tell your students? Is this a bad moment in the history of the United Nations, or we just go on for another day?
Well, I've been teaching courses on the UN and international law for over 20 years at Yale University, at City College, and I also teach at Columbia. It's reality. It's a reality check that there is still a lot of discrimination against women, that people don't believe that a woman can really be a leader. I mean, I'm firmly convinced that women can be wonderful leaders, but there's still a lot out there who don't believe that.
Jean Krasnow is a tenured lecturer at the Colin Powell School of Civic and Global Leadership at City College here in New York, former executive director of the Academic Council on the United Nations System. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.